Welcome to Taiwan Brief, insights on news impacting Taiwan. I'm Donovan Smith in Taichung. All right, before we dive in, I'd like to thank our patrons who keep this project going and more than once have made sure I could keep the lights on. Emily, Najee, Nathan, Frank, Sebastian, Ryan, Joshua, Lauren, Carlos, Courtney, and Paul. Thanks to all of you. You've made a huge difference to us here at Taiwan Report. Now, as is usually the case, part of this show is based on a column in the Taiwan News. But as always, with added content, insights, and anecdotes just for you guys. Now, first, a few things from the local Chinese language media not covered in English, at least not as of time of recording. Jiang Wan'an. And by the way, he isn't using Wayne any longer. I actually messaged him to ask to settle a dispute with an editor who actually turned out to be right. So Jiang Wan'an and the China Times are attacking Chen Shizhong for property speculation, which even Jiang admitted, quote, might not be illegal. Chen says he bought his property a long time ago and has yet to sell it. There were also a lot of headlines today about a wave of strategic qibao voting in Hsinchu City, with the KMT's Lin losing many of his voters to Ang Gao to stave off the DPP's Shen. Considering the number of articles and the range of outlets running them, it does look like it will happen. I'm very curious by how much, but we'll have to wait until the votes are counted to know. All right, on to the main portion of the program. So, as I assume this audience already knows well, the big political cleavage in Taiwan between the DPP and the KMT is their differing stances on Taiwanese identity, national sovereignty, and China, while the TPP, the Taiwan People's Party, does everything it can to dodge these issues. Checking out the core principles section of the TPP website, there is zero mention of these issues on national or on national defense, which in a Taiwan context amounts to ignoring a herd of elephants in the room. Both the KMT and DPP have left-wing histories and right-wing elements, as well as socially liberal and socially conservative members, and historically the changes in Taiwan that would be considered progressive have come from both parties. The KMT in 2018 took the socially conservative stance of being against marriage equality, but that is more the exception than the rule. The actual membership of the KMT now is more conservative, but that is almost certainly due to their near complete collapse in support of younger voters. Their politicians mostly don't seem to be playing the social conservative card, at least not at the top level or with any consistency. This means that in local elections, there's little clearly differentiating the parties. Candidates' platforms are usually all very similar. Infrastructure, social programs, various subsidies, housing plans, public transport, and so on. This time, however, the DPP is trying to differentiate itself by bringing the Chinese threat into the local elections. In September, I wrote that this was one of the unique factors in this election, but since then, the DPP has sharply increased their emphasis on it. Now, true, a few KMT politicians have tried to bring it in as well, but there is no coordinated strategy to do so on the Panblue side. Former President Ma Ying-jeou, for example, said, quote, vote for the DPP and the youth will go to war. And, quote, the Chinese communists opposing Taiwan independence is no accident. Vote for the KMT and there will be no war. Because naturally, your vote on city councilor and mayor is just the spark needed to trigger an invasion from China. Now, on the DPP side, it is a coordinated election strategy. Well, we won't know until the votes are in. Indications are now that at best, it has done little more than shore up the base a little. And at worst, it may have convinced voters that the party is out of touch with local concerns. As we'll get to, the problem isn't with trying to differentiate the party or with bringing in these issues. It's that the DPP is going about it the wrong way. It's like they've been given a great weapon to wield and are using it to shoot themselves in the foot. Now, it's clear why they're using this strategy. It worked wonders for them in the national elections in 2016 and 2020. But local elections are very different creatures and require a different approach. Their strategy has failed to provide anything meaningful on the local level. But they could have. One problem is that this seems to be coming right from the top levels of the party and party chair Tsai Ing-wen herself. People with an international and national viewpoint, but can come across as out of touch on local issues. Take, for example, Tsai's statement that if the DPP does poorly in the election, quote, it will influence how the world views Taiwan. She's right, of course. We can expect many hyperventilating headlines like, pro-China party wins Taiwan elections. What those news outlets, and it seems Tsai herself, seem to be forgetting is that voters in this election are choosing candidates on issues like preschool access and subsidized dentures for grandma, not on geostrategic considerations. They rightfully consider that an issue for national elections. Local politicians have no significant sway over international affairs or the threat from China. Sister city agreements aren't game changers. Tsai has also said, quote, a vote for DPP equated to defending democracy, as it would, quote, send the entire world the right message. Okay, so not only is she making the same mistake as with the previous quote, it comes across like she doesn't understand that voting for only one party, in this case, the DPP, is undemocratic, and is barely a step up from some petulant deep blue KMT politicians blaming their election losses on an undemocratic green terror. Somewhat more constructive is the Resist China, Protect Taiwan, or Kang Zhong Bao Tai, push. Though I personally prefer the DPP mayoral candidate Chen Shizhong's variation of Resist the Communists, Protect Taiwan, as it more accurately identifies the true enemy. Hundreds of DPP candidates have signed off on this, but none in the KMT or TPP have, with the exception of Taichung Mayor Liu Xiaoyan, who endorsed it verbally. Many DPP politicians have also signed a never surrender pledge. Now, there is some use to these actions. After all, it is good to know where they stand on these issues. But here's the problem. Their opponents have a point when they call the DPP out on this. They're just slogans. This is where the DPP really dropped the ball. They could have done so much more with this that would have been relevant and meaningful in local elections, not just nationalistic grandstanding. The threat from China is real and is an issue for voters, even in this local election. Now, due to local law, polls can't be cited specifically in the 10 days before an election. But in one, it appeared on the list of issues Taipei voters were most concerned about in choosing the mayor, albeit lower on the list than some other local issues. Now, if it made the list of top concern for some voters, it is fairly certain that a much larger number would include it as a concern. Now, should an invasion occur, local leaders will play critical roles, as has been demonstrated in Ukraine. Importantly for this election, what are the candidates' plans to prepare now? If the candidates had any, they certainly weren't publicizing them. And with the issue on the minds of many voters, why has the DPP totally dropped the ball on this in favor of slogans and trying to get voters more worried about the reaction of the international press rather than preparing for the very real threat that our communities could be under from China? Where are the plans for how to respond, organize, and mobilize? That's all done locally, involving the police, emergency responders, firefighters, and other key personnel. How about plans, classes, and information for the public to get involved and prepare? How about plans for hardening key infrastructure or tackling the issue of air raid shelters, which are often spaces used for storage. That's just the tip of the iceberg on potential issues and problems to tackle in preparation for the worst. Local governments prepare for typhoons and earthquakes. And here in Taichung, among other areas, tackling flooding has often been a campaign issue. Why not a potential war? There is so much tangible that the DPP could have campaigned on this issue that would be very relevant in a local election and provided a clear connection between candidates and voters' potential future safety and security. It would have played to the party's strengths and made the Resist China, Protect Taiwan campaign slogan actually substantive. This is, of course, just one issue voters would have considered, but it's not an inconsequential one. It would have truly differentiated the party on an issue most of the public could get behind, shifted debate towards territory the public trusts the DPP more on, and given the party a unifying and meaningful campaign to get behind. Campaigning heavily on Resist China, Protect Taiwan sounds good, but with absolutely nothing backing it up, in local elections, voters will go for grandma's subsidized dentures. Now, once this column came out, my Twitter kind of exploded. Some people loved it, others disagreed with me. Now, I was happy to note that the people who liked it and retweeted it were the people I know are very knowledgeable about Taiwan and respect. Some of the ones who disagreed apparently didn't even read the column or get past the headline. But the ones who might have all basically made, the ones who disagreed all basically made two points. One is that the DPP doesn't want to talk about war. Now, obviously, that isn't the case. They talk about it all the time. So does the DPP administration. The other was that they thought it would sow panic and be a bad campaign strategy. Now, I disagree. When politicians talk about national security, it doesn't cause panic. Talking about taking proactive steps can and would be framed as prudent preparations. Depending on the initiatives proposed, it could also be framed positively, especially in the sense of uniting the community, giving a sense of purpose, and showing support and or even working with the heroes at Kuma Academy. All right, that's it for today's show. Be sure to tune in, I believe, tomorrow. We should have another show. There's a lot to talk about before the election, and I'm looking forward to it. All right. See you next time.
This has been brought to you by the Taiwan Report. For more content like this, become our patron at report.tw.
哎呦，就是那个台湾狗啦，最喜欢我的台湾狗了。